Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in a very, very stormy New York. We hope that we keep our power on in the midst of what is quite a thunder and lightning storm here, folks. So we'll do the best we can to bring you the entire show. And you can join us at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Crossing our fingers that the lights stay on, the power stays on, and we can bring you the full show this week. Anyway, folks, this week we're going to answer a lot of your questions. We got a decent amount of questions together that are timely that we're going to go through. I said we'd do this from time to time, and we will. We're going to go over SmackDown and review some of that as well. We'll talk a little bit about AEW and the Collision show. The ratings have not come out for that yet, obviously. Won't until Monday or Tuesday, so we'll bring that to you probably on Tuesday's show. Let's start with that for just a minute because, I mean, the big thing that happened here is obviously CM Punk going over Samoa Joe. Did we really think there'd be another outcome? Did anybody really think that CM Punk was going to lose to Samoa Joe? Now, I know that Samoa Joe didn't have a really good time of it in WWE. They had relegated him to being an announcer. He had jobbed out a bunch. They weren't really sure what to do with him. I'm not 100% sure at this stage of the game he's that much better off, but here we are again. Was the match good? I guess it was good, but it was also, I think it was a little anticlimactic, to be perfectly honest. I really do. I mean, there was a lot of hype built up around this, and okay, but you win with a roll-up? That's how you win that match? Okay, you know, I mean, Mike, this is probably not going to help overall fans' feelings about the return of CM Punk. It was sort of, not going to say it was boring because it wasn't, but it was very anticlimactic in the semifinals match.
Well, you know it was going. You know it was going to happen because they made a big deal of what happened. What, 10 years ago, a decade ago, when they were both in Ring of Honor, and that Samoa Joe had went over him then. So you knew, you kind of knew that Punk was going to, it's his show and this and the other. And it's, but you kind of figured that since he went over him then and it's been a decade since that he was going to go over him somehow now. Now, could it have been done in a better way? Yeah, I guess. It could have been done in a better way, but again, they're trying to make Joe this monster and all this stuff, and you know, and that's basically how you survive a monster. You know, you roll him up.
I mean, I suppose I just think that, you know, and then CM Punk coming out and saying this is the most important match in my career. That's the most important match in your career, a semifinal match on a TV show. That's the most important. There was no WrestleMania match that was important. There was no match for a title that was more important. This was it, huh? This was the most important match of your career? I don't know. I'm just not into the hype of that, I guess, because it sounded forced and phony. And I don't know. I just don't think it did them any good, put it that way. I think fans kind of looked at that and said, okay, we see where this is going. It's Punk show. We get it. This is what it's going to be like. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the ratings say. I did want to mention, because a lot of people wrote to me and said, the hell was the point? And we'll get into SmackDown later, but what the hell was the point of Grayson Waller losing to Edge? What good does that do either superstar? What good does it do Edge when Grayson Waller hasn't really even had a match in WWE? And what good does it do Grayson Waller to lose to a 50-year-old guy who hasn't had six matches in 8 months and wasn't even supposed to have a match, supposedly, according to script, that night? So you surprise challenge he surprise challenges you, a 50-something-year-old man, you can't win. This is part of the WWE's problem. And I guarantee you, if you talk to the powers that be in WWE, they will say, well, I mean, Edge is a massive star. And for Grayson Waller to come so close to beating him and even having Edge at the end say, you know, it was sink or swim and you swam, that's him giving him his approval. And that's going to elevate Grayson Waller. I disagree. I disagree. I just think it sets him off on a bad start. Just like it set off Karrion Kross on a bad start to lose to Hardy, right? He's never recovered from that. We'll get into his match with AJ Styles a bit later. He's never recovered from that. Ever. And that's AJ Styles. He's also future Hall of Famer. One of the best, most renowned wrestlers in the world today. That's going to hurt, right? And Hardy was, you know, a very, very big name. So losing to him shouldn't have hurt, according to that, right? Oh, it elevated Karrion Kross. He was in the ring with Hardy, and okay, he lost, but it elevates him. How did that elevate him? You put him on a one-way road to just basically losing. Now, if this is what you got in mind for Grayson Waller, they're just going to be a loudmouth Miz who constantly loses. You know the Miz has not won a televised match in like a year. So if that's what you got in mind for him, okay, I guess. If he's okay with it, all right. But, you know, he just came back off. What'd he do? I think he broke his leg, Mike. And I was surprised that he actually wrestled this soon because I thought the broken leg was going to take him way past SummerSlam, probably into October, to be ready to actually go. But he put on a pretty good match.
He did put on a pretty good match. But the problem with this is this. Let's compare this, Grayson Waller, to L.A. Knight. Both are big mouths. Both can talk. Both are good on the mic. But what's the difference between L.A. Knight and Grayson Waller? L.A. Knight wins.
Now, at least, yeah. See, I'm always against. Go ahead.
And that's the thing. If you want Grayson Waller to be have his words mean something, he's got to win. He's got to win.
I think he should have won by some cheap, conniving way that Edge could have laughed off and said, all right, if he wants to take that win. You know, but no, instead the WWE goes the other way and just says, well, you've been elevated just by being in the ring with him. Yeah, I don't think so. Honestly, don't think so. WWE does this too much. They did it with Karrion Kross, never recovered. They did it from the very beginning with Baron Corbin, if you remember. Even when he was the lone wolf, he was going 50-50 with Dolph Ziggler in his opening matches in WWE. And he never really recovered from that. He never became the big, huge star he should have been as the lone wolf because we didn't take him seriously. Because he lost to Dolph Ziggler basically as soon as he put his foot in the door. So I hate to see it happen to Grayson Waller because he has talent. He's good on the mic. He's fairly good in the ring. And I think you could be somebody, but you're not going to be somebody if you just start your career losing, losing, losing. It's a shame. WWE doesn't see that, and they haven't seen that in a long, long, long time. Anyway, we'll do more on SmackDown a little bit later because there's quite a bit to get to there. Aside from that, I guess the only big wrestling news, Rey Mysterio was at UFC 290, apparently. So that's kind of interesting. Rey Mysterio hanging out in the UFC, you know, the merger now with Endeavor and everything. You're probably going to see a lot more WWE stars hanging out there. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see more crossovers, or I wouldn't be surprised if they try to run an angle of some kind. It wouldn't surprise me at all. to be honest, now that they've merged, Mike. So apparently Rey Mysterio was checking out the action last night.
Well, and here's the deal. You've got multiple, you know, you've got multiple female MMA people, including Ronda Rousey there. I wouldn't be at all surprised that, you know, Shayna Baszler or what's her name that's in a tag team right now would show up UFC. I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah, I think that's what's hidden. I think you're going to see Ronda Rousey eventually head over there, and then probably actually, I hear she's training to go back and do another run, so we'll see what ends up happening. Anyway, we'll get on to more stuff later, but right now...
We get letters, and the letters all have songs.
Okay, so let's get to the mailbag here, and the first one is from Martin in Archer, Florida. And he says, you guys are correct, the AEW ratings have been a bit of a disaster. What do you think they can do to turn it around? Here's the thing. I don't know, maybe the horse has left the barn on this, because the answer a year ago, I guess, would have been concentrate on one show. Just concentrate on the one show, and the ratings probably would have gotten better. Keep pushing. Find out what the audience wants. Find out what the audience is rejecting. You know, segment by segment, what the audience is thinking now. They can go segment by segment and say, we lost viewers during this. We gained viewers during that. You get an idea what the audience wants. Give them more of what they want, less of what they don't want. And if you wanted to add an extra hour to your show, fine. If you thought, well, we just don't have enough TV time for all the talent we have, which was your mistake to begin with, by the way. You've hired way too many people. That was a critical mistake by Tony Khan. Every week it was a new signing. Every week it was a new guy who was going to be a blockbuster, and then all of a sudden you don't see him no more. If you needed to add that third hour, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. But when you started splitting out into, well, we're going to do Ring of Honor, and then we're going to do Dynamite and Collision, you spread yourself too thin. Fans don't want to watch four shows. They just don't. I mean, we see that in NXT. WWE has an audience of 2 million people. NXT is lucky to do 600,000. That's a big drop-off. That's 1.4 million, 1.5 million, right? Not watching it. So it clearly shows you that if you spread yourself too thin, you're going to get a show that's basically, well, it's only for the most avid wrestling fan, the wrestling fan who has to watch everything. So I think where Tony Khan made his mistake, Martin, is he signed too many people and he decided he was going to branch out too quickly. What can he do to fix it now? I don't know. I mean, I would drop one of the shows. I'll be honest with you. I would drop one of these shows. At least one. Could you just combine one show into another one? Could you do that? Add an hour to a show if you need to do it or whatever? Make it easier for fans to watch. Because right now, it's not that way. And I think fans are getting tired of it, saying, well, I have to go over here to see these people, and then I got to go over here if I want to see these people. Why? Why? So my advice to Tony Khan at this point is I would cut and run a little bit. I would concentrate on my main show. Make that as good as I possibly could. See what the second biggest numbers are, whatever the show is, and make that your second concentrated show, and I wouldn't bother with the others. I just wouldn't. I know you can't put certain people over on Collision because they don't get along. How silly is that? want you to think about that for a minute. That would be like a baseball team saying, well, we're not even going to travel. Then I'm going to travel with the team because they don't get along. So if they're facing a left-hander and I got to put these guys in the starting lineup tonight, I got to keep them separated in a separate dugout from these guys. No one would do that. They'd tell you, grow the F up, knock off the bullshit, and do your job. Instead, Tony Khan has to go out of his way to put people at opposite ends of the arena and different TV shows, and it's just silly. It's just plain silly. So it's a tough question, Martin. I presume you're an AEW fan. You'd like to see the ratings go up. The only thing I can tell you is I wish Tony Khan would just concentrate on his main show. And anybody who don't want to be on that main show, fine, let him go. Let him go. I mean, if at this point the Bucks are the stickler, if CM Punk says, well, I'd be on the main show, but the Bucks don't want me there, then call their bluff and tell the Bucks, well, here's the situation. He is going to be on the main show. And if you don't like it, then leave. Because this is the way it's going to be. You all don't have to be singing Kumbaya around a campfire and feeding each other marshmallows. But if you don't want to work with each other, at least coexist. If they can't do that, then the person who's being the stickler has to go. If that's the Bucks, then they got to go. If it's Kenny Omega, then he's got to go. If it's CM Punk, then you shouldn't assign him, and he's got to go. Whatever it happens to be, when you condone that kind of behavior, you're cutting your own throat. So my advice to Tony Khan is concentrate on your main shows and do a little roster cutting and make sure that the top people are always on, so that the fans can see them on a regular basis, and the ratings will probably improve, Tom.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when we were wrestling, you know, how many guys were there that we didn't exactly get along with? There's quite a few. We still work together. There was no keep that guy away from me, keep him in a separate locker room. No, we all had a job to do. We all coexisted, for the time that we were there. And we had to do, you know, if we had to work with a guy we didn't particularly get along with, we still were professional. Just do your job. That's what you get paid to. That's what they get paid to do. You brought up an interesting, analogy with the baseball team. With baseball players not getting along, we have to keep them in a separate dugout. No, that's not how it works. That's not how the world works. So these guys need to, get a grip, do their job, and, at the end of the day, it's really about the fans, because that's who's coming to see you, and that's who's watching you on TV. And the more that this is that the inside turmoil is exposed, the more people are just going to, the more fans are just going to be like, you know what, I don't think I want to watch anymore.
Yeah, now Derek is saying, well, Rampage would be a good dismissal choice. Yeah, just merge Rampage with Collision. You don't need both. Just merge the two. If you want to ask for an extra hour, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not against that. I'm against you have to tune in on different times and different days, because that's when people start saying, yeah, I can't do that. I can't dedicate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to watching wrestling. I have a job. I have a significant other. Some people have kids. Some people have other hobbies. There's things to do. They just can't do it. And when you tell me, oh, I'm going to DVR it and that's what counts, yeah. You know how many times I've DVR'd things and I didn't get around to watching it, really? Or I skipped through it and said, well, let me just get to the part I want to see. So for all those people saying they're watching it on DVR, yeah, they're only cherry picking and watching what they want to see on DVR. That does not help AEW. So in other words, they say, I'm not interested in this match. Let me just fast forward. Not interested in this interview. Fast forward. Okay, here's the match I wanted to see. That's good enough. That's not good enough. See, if you're watching it live, you're pretty much forced to watch the whole thing, right? That's how wrestling will capture you. You may say, well, I'm only here to see Punk versus Samoa Joe. I couldn't give one damn about anybody else. But then something happened while you're waiting for Punk versus Samoa Joe, and you say, well, that's interesting. I'm a little bit interested in that. That's how you get viewers. You don't get viewers by saying, I DVR'd it, and I'm just going to fast forward to the spot I want to see, because then you miss everything else. So, yeah, Mike, I would merge two of the shows and just do the best, even if you have to increase the length of the show, and just do the best you can to concentrate and make sure the top talent is on the show every week as much as possible, and maybe the ratings will increase.
Right. They have been talking about, you know, increasing the Wednesday night show, Dynamite, to 3 hours. I'd go ahead and do that. Possibly increase the Saturday night show to 3 hours and be done with it. Just 6 hours of the show. I mean, think about it. Raw is what? 3 hours. NXT is 2 hours. SmackDown is 2 hours, right? So that's
right.
What? 3, 2, 5, 7 hours for the WWE? You know, I mean, I remember way back when you had, you know, with WCW, you had WCW Saturday Night, you had Main Event, you had Worldwide, you had, and two or three other shows that there were taped shows, but they were shows nonetheless that WCW did, and nobody watched those other two shows. They didn't watch Worldwide, and they didn't watch the other two shows. They only stuck to Saturday Night and Main Event, right?
Right.
That was
yep.
3 hours. So,
yeah, I guess my point is this. AEW, if they're doing 800,000 people on their top show and they're doing 500,000 people for their low show, they're losing a little less than half their audience. They're losing about 40% of their audience, right? WWE does 2,600,000. They're losing more than 40% of their audience. So technically speaking, AEW is doing a little better in not losing the higher percentage from show to show, but they're not doing the rating. So if the WWE can do 2 million for a SmackDown and only 600,000 for an NXT, it clearly shows you that what I'm saying is true, that people can't devote that much time to it. And they just say, well, I have to skip something and I'm going to skip NXT. Same way with AEW. So if you want to increase the rating, you can't. What are you going to do? You're going to have 10 shows eventually, and they all do 100,000, and you say, well, we've done a million between 10 shows. I mean, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. All right, let's get to the next letter here. This is from Andy in Queens. He said, where is Bray Wyatt, and will he be back for SummerSlam? Bray Wyatt's still on the roster. I hear he will be back for SummerSlam. I have never seen anyone fall from grace quicker than Bray Wyatt, however. He went from fans downloading every QR code and breathlessly waiting for the next episode so they could, you know, figure out what's going on and chanting his name before he even showed up, to hitting social media saying he's the most overrated wrestler in history, he sucks, he's no good. I've never seen a guy fall from grace quicker than Bray Wyatt. I've never seen it before. But I can guarantee you this. If he comes back in the right way, they'll all go right back on the bandwagon. Because no matter what you say about Bray Wyatt, he's interesting. He's that guy that you say, this is a little different. Let me pay closer attention to what's happening. Sometimes you don't like what's happening. There's many times with Bray Wyatt I didn't like what happened. But he was always interesting. It was always, well, this is unique. This is a little bit different. This is something you have to pay a little closer attention to. That's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. So, yeah, he'll be back fired. A lot of people said he was fired. There was major creative differences. There were some creative differences from what I hear. And Bray Wyatt is still trying to stick to this Uncle Howdy thing being – something so deep and personal, and that, but it's too late. The horse has left the barn on that. Nobody cares. The minute Bobby Lashley beat up Uncle Howdy with one or two punches, everybody said, we don't care anymore. Whoever wrote that was dumb as a brick, and they ruined it. because if Uncle Howdy was supposed to be some sort of a whatever, that mentor or in some way had some control or hold on Bray Wyatt, he certainly should be powerful enough to not be beaten up by Bobby Lashley. So that was an unfortunate. Also, you're not going to do any favors now that LA Knight is so popular, revamping, this was Bray Wyatt who came back to fight LA Knight, because there'll be more LA Knights here than there will be Bray Wyatt. You're going to have to, if you're going to fix Bray Wyatt, I hate to say it, you've got two choices. One, bring back the cult. Bring back the coming out with a lantern and a couple of, ominous-looking guys and the rocking chair. Or bring back the Fiend. That's it. Those are the two. Bray Wyatt tried to invent himself the third time, Mike, and it really didn't work.
Yeah, it really didn't work. And look, I mean, Eric Redbeard is still hanging out there someplace, right? So you've got that going on. If he's still hanging out there someplace, bring him back in. If you can find somebody else to replace. I guess he's doing, what's his name, doing something different. But again, Braun Strowman is not, his career is not going great guns right now. So
right.
It'd be very easy for them to repackage him up, maybe have him gain some weight here and there, whatever, but repackage him up and put him back with Bray Wyatt. Right. If you want to bring in Bo Dallas, bring him in. Whatever.
Yeah, if you want to bring him in, go ahead. And Bray Wyatt, as far as I'm concerned, Braun Strowman would be a good addition. You could easily write around that. You could easily just have Braun Strowman come back and not do much talking, just do a lot of snarling and yelling, and have Bray Wyatt say, "The Braun Strowman you saw before is dead. That wasn't really him. That was something that you all created something different. This is the real Braun Strowman. This is the Braun Strowman you all remember." People would be all right with that. They'd be okay with it. That's if, I guess, you want to make them heels. You want to make them faces, make them faces. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. But it's not going to work with the Uncle Howdy thing. If you want to bring Bo Dallas back, let me tell you something. Bo Dallas can act. I've seen him in one of those Marine movies do a biker, a psycho biker. He did well. Just let him – he's already got his long hair. Let him, whatever you want to call it, let him darken himself out a little bit and just be like that psycho guy who just laughs a lot, in back of Bray Wyatt. Reinvent him. You were able to reinvent Triple H from a guy who bowed and wore ruffled shirts and was a blue blood, right? With a ponytail and, I can't dirty and sully my hands, right? You're able to take that and make the game out of him. You can't take Bo Dallas and make a dark character out of him? Why? Why? Of course you can, if you want to bad enough. So, yeah, listen, he'll be back, Tom. It's just that he's got to come back in a way that's going to capture the fans' imagination again.
Yeah, for sure. And I like Bray Wyatt. I like his character. I like the way that they did bring him back. But I believe that the pitch black match with LA Knight was the wrong way to go. And Bobby Lashley beating up Uncle Howdy. Speaking of Bobby Lashley, we haven't seen him since WrestleMania, so, there's that also. So I'm hoping they do bring Bray Wyatt back and, team him up with, if you want to bring back Bo Dallas, he's got, he's a good worker. Get Eric Redbeard, get Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's going to be coming off injury in a few months or whatever, that could be something you can work with. The guys from Sanity are not doing anything currently. So you have a lot of choices.
Not only that, but if Alexa Bliss is, with child and she's not going to be back for a while, could you not substitute Nikki Cross? if you're not going to bring back Sanity, couldn't Nikki Cross go into that spot as, you know, kind of a demented? I think she'd fit fine. So you have a lot of options. What Bray Wyatt has to concentrate on is this. A, give the fans what they want. That's number one. B, work on your wrestling, unless you're going to be the Fiend. If you're going to be the Fiend, you don't have to work on your wrestling because the Fiend is not supposed to be a wrestler. The Fiend is just supposed to be a force that comes in and beats on you. But if you're going to be Bray Wyatt, then you got to work on your wrestling. Because fans' biggest bitch about Bray Wyatt is, oh, his matches are never very good. Well, you know, look what The Undertaker was to begin with. His matches were never really very good either because he was supposed to be this undead creature and he just came in and did certain things in slow motion, right? Same way with Kane for a while, but then they gradually allowed them to do more. So if you're going to be the Fiend, then that's okay for now. If you're going to be Bray Wyatt, I think you have to do a little bit more. All right, let's get to the next question. This is a really good one, I think, from Kevin. And he's in Staten Island, and he says, what's the biggest issue hurting wrestling today? Because clearly wrestling does not have the audience it used to have in the 80s. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I love people who say it's never been a better time for wrestling. No. Well, maybe if you're a wrestler because you got so many different choices of places to work. But it's not for the business. Because you used to regularly draw 3 million, 3.5 million on TV. Now you're lucky to draw 1.5 or 2, right? Where'd all those wrestling fans go? They got older and said, nah, I don't want to watch it anymore, and the younger generation ain't into it. So you got a problem. That's exactly right. What is the greatest problem in wrestling today? Well, I think some people would say overexposure because there's just so much of it. You go on YouTube, there's a million federations. I downloaded an app called Pro Wrestling TV, and there's another million federations. You couldn't possibly follow all these federations unless all you did all day long was watch professional wrestling. That would have to be your only thing in life, to follow all these federations. So there is some of that overexposure. But I think that what's hurting the big companies, which is AEW, WWE, and obviously Impact, I think what's hurting them, honest, is wokeness. I think wokeness has really hurt a lot of things. If you don't believe me, I mean, Indiana Jones is bombing. Indiana Jones was supposed to be the biggest movie of this entire summer, and it's bombing. And the reason it's bombing is nobody wants to go and get a lecture about how woke we need to be. Nobody wants that. You turn into a TV show on Netflix or whatever, and, oh, no, we got to be reminded of how woke we need to be. People don't want it. Pro wrestling is supposed to be politically incorrect. And for a long time now, it's not politically incorrect. It has to bow down. And, oh, well, you can't do that because you might offend this group. You can't do this because you might offend this group. It's supposed to be offensive. It's supposed to be. You can't go to a Gangs concert and say, I'm sorry, but this has to be G-rated so that nuns and their families that are highly Christian can enjoy it. No, it does not have to be that way. Why does it have to be that way? Well, because that's the right thing to do. But then you've killed what this thing is. Nobody goes to see a gangster rap concert to have some rapper come out and say, the world is wonderful, everything's great. And this, no, nobody does that. Nobody goes to a death metal concert and says, well, I'm a little bit offended by some of the symbolism and some of the lyrics. Nobody does that. Nobody says you have to make this G-rated. You can't insult anybody. You can't trample on somebody's feelings by saying this or saying that. You can't insult a religion. You can't insult this. You can't insult that. Why? Why can't you? We live in the United States of America. Do whatever we want to do. There's freedom of speech. Wrestling isn't supposed to be a woke endeavor. And every time you try to make it that way, it sucks. And more fans say, ah, it's not what it used to be. Do you remember when DX used to come out cross-chopping, telling people to suck it? Steve Austin was threatening to stop mud holes in people's asses and walk them dry, giving people the middle finger? That's when wrestling was dangerous. As a rock musician, I can tell you this. Rock and roll was always supposed to be dangerous. Rock and roll was always supposed to be that music that your parents said, I don't know if you should be listening to this. And that's why you listen to it. Way back when Elvis was shaking his hips and everybody said, oh, that's terrible. Did you see what he did on the Ed Sullivan Show? That's very sexual. We can't have that. And then came the 60s with all the stoner guys, right? Oh, they're teaching our children drug culture. This is outrageous. You can't do that. And then came, you know, the punk rock and the heavy metal and everything else. It was always dangerous. Rock is supposed to be a little edgy and dangerous. Well, that's what professional wrestling's supposed to be, too. And when it's no longer edgy and dangerous, it's also not fun. So that would be my choice, Mike, is overexposure and a lot of wokeness.
A lot of overexposure, a lot of wokeness, and lack of psychology. That's another thing. But, yeah, think about this. Back in the day, you had Eddie Murphy, you had Red Fox, you had George Carlin, you had and I'm just going down the list. What's his name played in Superman 3?
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. You know, those guys were those guys could not do comedy. Well, what's his name recently died within the last 10 years, George Carlin, but could not. Red Fox and Richard Pryor and those guys could not do comedy, could not be, you know, because they have to be, they'd have to be woke, and they're not that. They're not that. I mean, you've got, like, people like Dave Chappelle who just don't give a damn and who will do great stuff. He does great comedy. We don't agree on a lot, me and Dave Chappelle, but he's a great comedian because he don't give a crap, you know, because he's not woke.
Yeah, and wrestling is not supposed to be that way. Wrestling is supposed to be a little edgy. Wrestling is supposed to be something that if you're 12 or 13 years old, your parents come in and say, I don't know, should we let them watch this? You know, there's a lot of things going on here. That's the whole point of wrestling. When wrestling is so politically correct that you basically can't do anything, it's like comedy. Like Mike was saying, comedy is almost ceasing to exist because I can't say that. I can't do this. I can't tell this type of a joke. I better not say this. Same thing with wrestling writers. They're saying, well, we can't do that. Well, we could. No, we can't do that either. Oh, we might offend somebody if we do this. That's no way to run a wrestling federation, Tom.
Yeah, and then at that point, what you do by, you know, bowing down to the mob, who says you can't do those things, you're watering down the product, and you're getting people to go, I'll just go watch something else. I'll watch archives on the WWE Network, or, you know, I'll watch some stuff on YouTube that I used to be able to watch, and there was no problems. Some of the stuff today, I'll be honest with you, some of the stuff today I can't really stomach because it's too, you know, it's too woke. They take that turn to the wokeness, and I'm just like, okay, well, that's kind of silly. Like, I'll bring up the what's her name, Bianca Belair, the don't make me take these earrings off and come and, you know, beat your ass kind of thing. She couldn't say that because it was considered whatever. Come on, like, it's wrestling, for crying out loud.
Well, see, this is the thing. Derek in the chat room saying, I find myself rooting for the bad guys. Well, the reason you're rooting for the bad guys is the bad guys are more dangerous. The same reason you're rooting for the bad guys is the same reason that people are more attracted to the rock performers who are dangerous. And, oh, my parents wouldn't approve of them. And, oh, they're saying things that are a little outrageous, right? Well, the problem was the WWE used to have good guys that did that. Steve Austin, right? Steve Austin wasn't politically correct. He came out drinking a beer. He was giving people the middle finger. He'd hit a woman if she got in the way. He was a beer-swilling redneck. He was dangerous. He was obviously very violent. The Rock was dangerous. You never knew what The Rock was going to say. He could come out and do anything. Well, the Mankind was dangerous. The Undertaker, how much more dangerous can you be? right? You had guys to root for that had that little bit of danger in them. Now who do you have? You have Cody Rhodes, who comes out calling himself a nightmare, but he's all dressed in a nice white or gray suit, shaking hands with the audience, patting hands with kids, saying, "Ah, golly gee, I'm so fortunate to be in this business, and my family is so fortunate to be in this business, and we're so fortunate to have you wonderful fans, and I'm so fortunate to be making a living." He may as well be, you know, on a 50s a sitcom. He may as well be Beaver Cleaver. That's what Bob Backlund used to do way back when you had to be a face to be a face. Now you got to be a little edgy to be a face. But they don't want you to be edgy. Now, you know, Derek's saying, well, Riddle does the weed thing. Yeah, but you know what? That's just a big, fat, giant ripoff of Van Damme. Van Damme did the same exact thing. Riddle's a little funnier with his, Fast Times at Ridgemont High deal going on. But he doesn't appear to be dangerous. He's the exact opposite of dangerous. He's like a cross between Rob Van Damme and Eugene. He doesn't seem dangerous. He seems anything but dangerous. So who's the guys that are dangerous? Who's the guys that you say, oh, well, there's trouble now? It's not AJ. AJ comes out and he's golly gee, you know, happy to be a wrestler, right? So it's not AJ. It's not Sami Zayn. He's all peace, love, and harmony. Even if I don't like you, I'm going to try to help you because I'm such a wonderful person. Who's dangerous? Who's that guy that's a face that you say, I don't know, man. You never know what that guy might do. I'll give you the answer, L.A. Knight. That's why he's popular. That's why the fans are starting to take to him, because they're saying this is like a throwback to when Austin or The Rock would come out and literally just cut you to the bone with a promo, and you never really know what they're going to say, and it may not be politically correct, and they're not above cheating, and you never know whatever they might do. Right? Think of it this way. If Rhea Ripley were interfering on AJ Styles, you think AJ Styles is going to push her and knock her down? You already know. He's going to sit there and threaten, get out of here. You already know he's not going to do anything. You already know Cody's not going to do anything. You already know Sami Zayn's not going to do anything. You already know all the big faces aren't going to do anything. You're not 100% sure LA Knight won't. So, yeah, we need that danger back in wrestling. We need the face that's like, okay, well, this guy is bordering on not being a face, but he's doing the wrong things to the right people. How about when Roddy Piper turned face? That's why everybody liked him. What did he do? He kidnapped Jimmy Hart and washed his mouth out with Listerine. He took a ball bat to the flower shop. If he took a ball bat to the flower shop today, they'd say, well, this is just homophobic. This is just a pure case of the WWE being homophobic. Because a gay guy can't be a bad guy. A gay guy always has to be a good guy because he's always right. Why? Why? I'm sure there are some wonderful, moral, upstanding gay guys. I'm also sure there are some criminals. Because that's the way it works. No matter what race, religion, or sexuality you are, there's going to be good and bad. So how come we can't have a gay bad guy? How come? Well, that would be politically incorrect. Why? Because they don't exist? Come on. See, this is the problem. So, yeah, I think this is a major problem. WWE needs some danger in it. They need that face that we've said it for a long time. Mike and I have discussed it, that you need that guy that when the music hits, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't care how bad of a bad guy you are, you're in for a rough time. And not only are you in for a rough time, but we don't know what this guy's going to do. He's a little bit, off the deep end. That was Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was The Undertaker. That was The Rock. Those guys were always just on the verge of being dangerous. Cody Rhodes is not dangerous. Jey Uso is really not dangerous. Sami Zayn is not dangerous. So, yeah, I think that's a major factor, Todd, is we don't have that anti-hero to root for.
That's
absolutely right there. Like you said, we need that anti-hero to root for. Should have been Kevin Owens. He should have been the anti-hero, but
they made were trying to make him that. They were going to give that a go, and then they screwed the shit out of that when he was with Shane McMahon for a while. They screwed the shit out of that by having him be too passive. I know they were trying to say he's pushing Kevin Owens to the brink, and then Kevin Owens is going to snap. But do you think in your wildest dreams that Stone Cold Steve Austin would have said, all right, I have children to put through college and a wife, I'll be a referee and cheat for you. The minute that Kevin Owens acquiesced to the things that Shane McMahon wanted, you lost the fans. Because the fans said, well, he's a pussy. Because a real man would have said, I ain't doing that. Stone Cold Steve Austin would have said, well, you can kiss my ass. And if you think you're firing me, I'll find you in the parking lot, or I'll get in here. Your mamby-pamby security ain't going to stop me from getting in here, and I'll whip your ass every single week until you re-sign me. That's what the fans want. The fans want somebody who says, I'm not taking any bullshit, zero. Zero bullshit. That's why they like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar shows up and just beats people's ass. He's dangerous. That's why Brock Lesnar still draws. You see, the WWE doesn't even understand that. They don't understand, well, Brock only shows up once in a while, and yet he still draws, and he's a big name. How come? Because he's dangerous. He's perceived as being dangerous. How come LA Knight got over on his own? Because he's perceived as being a little dangerous. How come CM Punk is so popular despite the fact he obviously hates wrestling, obviously hates fans, obviously has nothing but contempt for everybody he works with, because he's perceived as being a little bit dangerous? The danger got to be put back in pro wrestling, Mike, or it's going to die a slow death.
It really is. Why was 9-1-1 big?
Yeah. Dangerous. Same way with the Sandman. Dangerous.
What I mean, think about this. When Braun Strowman was saying nothing and tipping over ambulances and and 18-wheelers and pulling Porter Johns all over the place. Why would people all the time, there was always an explosion when you heard that growl. Because he's dangerous.
Right.
I mean.
Absolutely 100% correct. And that's what wrestling's missing. So that was a good question. Who did that come from? That was Kevin. Staten Island. Kevin, that's a good question. I really think that we've nailed that. The danger element in pro wrestling is fast leaving. All right. This is from Earl in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. He said, can you name any wrestlers that left WWE for AEW that are actually better off for having done it? Well, financially, yeah. Financially, there probably are. Chris Jericho said he never had more money, had an offer that big in his life. So financially, Chris Jericho is better. Maybe a couple of guys are financially better. They probably paid Matt Hardy and some of them other people more than the WWE. But if you mean better in terms of where their career is going, maybe John Moxley. Maybe. Aside from that, well, certainly not Jake Hager. Certainly not the Hardy. Certainly not Miro. Aleister Black, no, not really. Christian wasn't in there. Well, he was. Maybe Christian. FTR, yeah, Derek is saying FTR. Yeah, I guess FTR, but, you know, that's minor. I don't think FTR is sitting on top of the world. You know, they're not household names. And they weren't big names when they left the WWE. So if we're only talking about big names that left the WWE, the only one I can think of that might be a little better off maybe is Moxley. Only because I don't think he was ever going to hold the championship in the WWE, the heavyweight championship. I don't think he was ever going to hold that. And he certainly was never going to be allowed to do the type of matches he wanted to do. So I guess he's better off because he's doing the matches he wanted to do, and he has been the top guy for a long time here and there in this company. So I guess he's better off. But you're right. If you're trying to say most of them aren't better off, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Most of them are not better off. There's no way Miro's better off. There's no way Aleister Black's better off. There's no way Jake Hager's better off. Matt Hardy? Who's doing anything to speak of? So, no, there's not a lot, no. See, that was the thing, is that it was, Big Show? Are you kidding me? So, yeah, not a lot. Not a lot. Financially, maybe. But career-wise, Mike, I can't think of any other than Moxley, really.
Well, and you can't really say Buddy Murphy either. So then there's that. But and other than, there are people that have went away to different other places and their career's gotten better. I mean, right now, Trinity, her career's gotten a little bit better being in Impact. And of course, Zack Ryder, he went and made himself a champion, a championship caliber performer. And Emma or Tennille Dashwood did the same thing. Now, Emma's back in the WWE, and it seems like they're going to try and do something with her. It just seems like it, but we got to see with that. But, yeah, other than the people that didn't go to AEW, there are a list of people that have went and made their careers better after out of the WWE.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. But I think the question was indicating AEW was supposed to be greener pastures. Was it really greener pastures? And the answer is probably not. Probably not. Now, Derek was saying, Adam Cole left NXT. But Adam Cole was a top guy in NXT, and he's one of the top guys. And so, he's sort of even. He didn't better his career. He didn't worsen his career. He's just sort of the same caliber as he was in NXT. He is in AEW. I'm not an Adam Cole fan. I've made it perfectly clear. I think he's an okay athlete. He's also looks like he's never, ever heard of the word gymnasium in his lifetime. I doubt he's lifted a weight in his lifetime. He does not look tough. He does not look like he can fight. He has some charisma, but that's him doing Shawn Michaels. So I'm just not a big fan. When MJF looks like Braun Strowman compared to you, it would be nice if maybe you took your job seriously enough to do a little workout, pump yourself up a little bit. That's why they wanted to use him as a manager in the WWE, because they said, we have small guys, but Finn Balor's still jacked. Ricochet is still jacked. You're not. Adam Cole looks like he belongs in a hair metal band. And, okay, you're a good athlete, but, okay, well, you should be. You should have more stamina than everybody else. You don't weigh, but so I'm sure you should have stamina. He's got the charisma down. He's got the jive talking down, but, so does my next-door neighbor. He's not going to be a professional wrestler. So I'm not a huge Adam Cole fan. Never really was. Always thought he was just doing a cheap Shawn Michaels ripoff. And he just didn't have, A, the charisma of Shawn Michaels, and B, the skill. He's a good worker. But I think he's one of those good workers who you keep around to say he's a secondary champion or he's the leader of a faction where there are bigger guys who can do his dirty work for him. That's the way I'd use him anyway. But I don't think Adam Cole's any better off because I think he's kind of just even. He was at the top of NXT, and he's pretty much at the top of AEW, so that's a wash.
Yeah, it's like pretty much going from you know, from double A to single A. It really didn't do much for him except for, you know, it just put him in the same position that he was in NXT. I'm not really a big fan of Adam Page. He's pretty much in the same position. I say Adam Page,
see,
and Adam Cole, sorry.
Yeah, here's the thing. When Adam Cole reminds me of, you can be a really good actor and just not be right for the part. You know what I mean? Some people would say, well, you know, name a good actor. Okay, let's name somebody who's at the top of their game acting-wise. That's reasonably young. Name a guy. Oh, you know, I don't know. Seth Rogen. Well, he can't be Thor. You're not going to sign Seth Rogen to be Thor because it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It doesn't matter if he's a good actor. He can't be Thor. Well, in my opinion, Adam Cole has charisma and he's a good athlete, but he can't be your top guy because he just doesn't look like one. He just doesn't. And I have a problem with it. Same way I'd have a problem. I have a problem with Finn Balor, so how could I not have a problem with Adam Cole? Because if you put Finn Balor and Adam Cole together, Finn Balor looks a lot more like he could kick your ass than Adam Cole. Even though neither one looked particularly scary. I could go for the guy who's in that kind of shape might be a much better fighter. Adam Cole, when he was in, you know, with Bobby Fish and everything, that was a little different because it had that group. And it was all for one and one for all, and that kind of worked out. Adam Cole on his own, you know, listen, he's standing next to MJF, who's not a big guy. And MJF looks like Braun Strowman compared to him. At least care about your job enough to pump a little iron and get yourself into a halfway decent shape. Now he's in shape cardiovascular-wise, but muscle tone is close to zero. So that's my problem with him. All right, let me get to the next question here. Let's see. All right. Is there any NXT guys to keep our eyes on that you think could be a future top star in WWE? Let me think about this for a minute. Well, I mean, Bron Breakker comes to mind. He's going to be in WWE really soon. He probably will be a top guy. He's sort of the type of guy that the WWE likes. I can see them making a big deal out of him. He's second generation and all that. They'll make something out of him. Aside from that, I mean, Carmelo Hayes has a ton of talent, but I'm not 100% sure it's going to translate as good as people think to the WWE. Those are the two that come to my mind right off the top of my head. Obviously Cameron Grimes could do something. He's there now though. So that's really irrelevant. I mean, I'm sure there's some in the female division, but as far as the males are concerned, Mike, the only one I can think of that I think is guaranteed is probably Bron Breakker. Carmelo Hayes would be my second choice. But I could see him going the way of a Matt Riddle where you're like, he's sort of a top guy, but not really. So I'm going to say Bron Breakker probably is the only one I can think of right now.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you could maybe say on the female side, J.C. James, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, I know she just got there, you know, and she's just starting out her career. But you know that probably within the next year and a half to 2 years, that Ava Fire, The Rock's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Well, she'll be there, of course. That's The Rock's daughter,
yeah.
So there's no question she'll be there. Maybe Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy has the gift of he can speak well and sell his stuff, but again, he doesn't look. Yeah, I think he has to change his look some. I think Joe Gacy has to change his look some, and then maybe he could. See, this is the same thing with Bray Wyatt. Remember when Bray Wyatt was Husky Harris? That was not working. That did not work at all. Then he reinvented himself as Bray Wyatt. It worked. I think Joe Gacy needs to. Joe Gacy has the ability, I think, but he needs to redo his look, redo his gimmick, get a little more involved in it, and then maybe Joe Gacy. But the one that comes to the top of my head is Bron Breakker, Tom.
Yeah, Bron Breakker. I'd like to see. Well, they used to call him Dominik Dijakovic. I don't know what they call him now.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now. It passes me a minute. But Dragunov as well.
Yeah, Dragunov is a great worker. But I think I could see him going the way of Pete Dunne, where he's, you know, a second banana. They gave Dijakovic a shot as T-Bar, and that didn't work. God knows. Why they ever did that, I don't know. That was a gimmick that could have worked. That was a gimmick that really could have worked. But again, political correctness killed that gimmick. Let me explain how. They realized very early on that this group was basically Antifa. And they said, yeah, we better not do that. That's going to piss off people who look at them as not bad guys. And we don't want to piss off people who look at them as not bad guys and have them say, oh, I see what you're doing. You're trying to make fun of the left wings, you know, group, but you won't do it with the right wing. That's what that group was supposed to be. And if they just had the balls to say, F you, this is a group and this is what we're doing with them, that group could have worked. What killed that group is making Mustafa Ali the leader. That was a big, huge, giant, glaring mistake. I know they like the little guy controlling the big guy's thing. It didn't work. This was very much similar to, and I'll go to Todd for this because I know, Todd, you probably know the answer. Remember the group in Impact? They used to come on the television. I don't remember what they were called. And they all had the masks on for a while, and they would interrupt the feed. I don't remember what they were called, but Eddie Kingston ended up being one of them, and James Storm.
I think it was Death Count Council.
Something like
Death
that. Those guys had so much potential. Every segment they did, I was like, this is awesome. And then when they revealed who they were, I'm like, this is never going to work. Not in 100 million years is this ever going to work. Because you picked the wrong people. That's why it's not going to work. Well, you had Mace and T-Bar were fine. Even the guy that was doing the, what was he called? I can't remember his name now. He was fine. And the minute you added Mustafa Ali as the leader, I knew this thing was doomed, Mike.
I knew it was doomed, too. Oh, by the way, what's his name? The guy with the snake, his name, Santino Morella's daughter's down in NXT.
Oh, Santino Morella. Oh, that, yeah. Okay, we're talking about two different things. Yeah, Santino Morella's daughter, yeah, I hear that'll be interesting. Yeah, Tom, I mean, they sort of gave Dijakovic a chance. I don't know. They probably shouldn't have put him in that role, but they did.
Yeah, that was definitely the wrong role for him. And they could have just, you know, making Mustafa Ali the leader was just a big mistake, and that was probably due to his whining backstage that he wasn't being used. So they just gave him something, and it didn't work. And fans knew it didn't work, and backstage people knew it didn't work. But I can go with the female. I'd say Tiffany Stratton has great potential as well.
Yeah, I think there are more women who have potential, but then I think it's easier to break in. You know, the WWE has less women that they're featuring, so you could be a featured person. I still say to this day, if you handled Shotzi right, her entrance and all that cool stuff, she could have been something, but not anymore. All right, let's get to the next question. This is Richie in Kansas City, Missouri. Says, where the hell is Bobby Lashley? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think he was injured. I think maybe he had, like, cumulative injuries. In other words, nothing that's like surgery or nothing like I broke a bone or I pulled a muscle. I just think he's had, like, my knees hurt, my back hurts. I need time. I just need some time to get, you know, 100%. And I think they're keeping him off television for a reason, and I think that reason probably is we're going to see some kind of reforming of the Hurt Business, because you also notice you don't see Almas. You don't see MVP. You have seen a little bit of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, but not much. So I think there's going to be some kind of reforming of the Hurt Business when Bobby Lashley comes back, which I'm all for. I'm all for that. Lashley is an imposing figure. Lashley has that little tiny bit of element of danger. He's not great on the mic, but I think he makes a better heel. I've always thought he made a better heel. So that still wouldn't give the WWE the face they needed. But at the same time, it would give them a pretty good quality heel. So I'm not against it if they want to reform the Hurt Business with Lashley, Almost, Benjamin, and Alexander, Mike.
I'm not afraid of it. I'm not against it either. Because remember, there was a time when the Hurt Business had that element of danger to it.
Yep.
You know, think about it. They said, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to go after these guys, but you got to pay us, right? And
yep.
As they're walking out to the ring, they're taking off their jackets, they're doing all this stuff, and you're saying, uh-oh, something's going to happen here. And if they play this thing right and they put this thing back together right, you've got two very imposing guys in Omos and Lashley. And, you know, I mean, Cedric Benjamin's not a small guy, but he's not Lashley, all right? You know, and you got the small guy with Cedric Alexander. So you got the quick guy with Cedric. That could be a very dangerous group.
Yeah, listen, there's no question. And to your point, this just illustrates my point, is that the fans want that danger. The Hurt Business was flat out heels. When they made the arrangement that for money, they would protect the WWE from retribution. When they, and that was when there was like 20 members, remember? They were just, there was like a ton of them. They weren't just, you know, the few guys that there were. There was like different people all the time. And there was like 20 of them attacked the ring. And when the Hurt Business came down, started taking off their jackets, and they were throwing people around, that crowd went nuts. Why did that crowd go nuts? Because you had a dangerous group in Retribution and a very dangerous group in the Hurt Business going head-to-head. And the fans loved it. That's the danger element that's missing from professional wrestling. That anti-hero group or that anti-hero worker that you're never too sure about. That's why Becky Lynch is so popular. Does Becky Lynch come out and say, well, I'm the greatest of all time, and I, you know, I spent a lot of time on my technical ability, and I'm a wonderful athlete. No, she just comes out and punches people in the face. They're just yelling at her and saying, you're this, you're that. And when they give her the microphone, she's like, I don't need the microphone. I'm just punching you dead in the face. So that's why Becky Lynch is popular, is because people say, listen, she ain't taking no bullshit from nobody ever. She's going to come out and punch you in the face. That's what they want. You need people like that. Now, she's toned it down here and there a little bit, and she probably shouldn't. But she still has that element of danger. That's why Becky Lynch arguably is the most popular female on the roster. All right, let's see. Where are we going with this? Okay, this is Jason T. from Albany. He says, why can't wrestling federations just trade talent like sports teams do? What stops them? Well, nothing stops them. I mean, technically you could. if Vince McMahon said, listen, you know, we're not doing anything with Ricochet, we'll, you know, and he's approved us trading him to AEW for whoever, and they, and that person said, I'll come to WWE, then I guess nothing's stopping it. But why it's not the same is this. Even though teams are privately owned, they're all under the auspices of, like, Major League Baseball or the NFL commission. Wrestling doesn't have that. So these are private enterprises. So technically, could they do it? Yeah, they could do it if they want to. And they have. Wrestling has done that in the past. But the reason they don't do it more is there isn't a, there isn't an overseeing body like there is in the baseball or football or hockey or whatever. There is no overseeing body. So the problem with that is even today in baseball, you have people who can nix a trade if they want to. But it's much easier to trade a baseball player because they're under Major League Baseball's, you know, rulings, as opposed to a wrestler who's an independent worker, right, according to Vince McMahon. So let's say you wanted to trade away Ricochet and you wanted to get back Miro, and Miro said, yeah, I'd love to come back to the WWE, and Ricochet, yeah, I'd love to go to AEW. Could you technically do it? Yes. Will they do it? No. And the reason they won't is, let's just say Miro bombs in WWE and Ricochet takes off and is a hot commodity in AEW, it makes WWE look bad. Or vice versa. So they'd rather just play with who they got. Whoever they got, according to them, they're the best, and we wouldn't take anybody from their roster. See, that's their mentality. We wouldn't trade anybody from our roster for anybody for their roster because we got the best. And if you did do it, it would kind of be indicating, well, your stuff is as good as ours. So to answer the question, could they? Yeah, technically. Will they? No, they won't. I mean, it would be interesting, Mike, if you could do that. I mean, I think there would be a lot of trades already made.
Right, but here's the deal. You mentioned Miro, and that's a little bit of a different thing because – think about it. You trade Miro for Ricochet, right? Basically, the WWE is going to be getting two for one because you trade Miro back to the WWE, Lana's going to follow him.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing would be, you know, listen, would it be advantageous? It could be, because if you say, well, if we're trading this guy, we're going to use him. If we're trading Ricochet for Miro, which would never happen, but if we're trading Ricochet for Miro, then we're not going to put Miro in catering and say, we got nothing for you. We're going to use him, obviously, or we wouldn't trade for him. And the exact same thing with AEW. They'd say, well, listen, if we're losing Miro and Ricochet's coming over here, you're damn sure straight we're going to do something with him, or we wouldn't have traded for him. So in a way, the athletes themselves would probably be better off, because if someone's trading for you, then you're damn sure they're going to use you. However, it's the contracts and things. See, that's the problem. Because it's not under the ruling of a guiding body, there's going to be people who say, I can't honor this part of the contract, or we got to redo this, or we can't do this. And there's rights pending when it comes to merchandising and all kinds of things get in the way. See, that's the problem. There's too many things that get in the way. So it's never likely to happen. You know, the best you're going to get is when somebody's contract comes up, they negotiate. I mean, let's face it. Vince McMahon helped Bret Hart negotiate his contract to WCW. And that's a proven fact. So, I mean, there's a little of that going on, but it's not the same thing exactly. But if we suspend our imagination, Todd, can you imagine the trades that could be made?
You're absolutely right there. Like you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's – you could do – I think they did a sort of – like back in the day, you did trading of wrestlers too back in the 80s with the Jim Crockett promotions and Vince McMahon thing with the mid-carders.
Yeah, they'd work different territories. That's true. They did do a lot of that back then. It wasn't really trading them so much as it was just borrowing them and using them in different territories. You send somebody over to me, I'll send somebody over to you. That kind of stuff. Yeah, they did do that back in the old days. They don't do that so much now. I mean, I guess AEW did it in Japan a little bit, right? So some of that's Some of that's legit. It's an interesting question. It's not going to happen. I mean, you might see guys trade guys and still keep them under contract, but say you can borrow them. But as far as to actually say you are now a member of a different federation and we got this guy for you, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, this one is Daryl in West Virginia. He said, I heard you guys say that Cody isn't the guy to be the face of the company. If he's not, who is? Well, that's a really good question. We've been talking about that. I don't know. I don't see one. That's the problem. I don't see one. Let's just go through the roster. I mean, it could be Roman. If Roman goes away for a while, comes back as a face to save his cousin and from impending doom and regain his title or his title of tribal chief, could he be the big face that's the dangerous guy? Yeah, he could be. Absolutely. But aside from him, I don't know. It's not dangerous enough. It's not Sami Zayn. It's not Matt Riddle. It's not Kevin Owens doing his comedy routines all the time. It's not AJ Styles. I mean, if you did the right thing with Karrion Kross, it could have been Karrion Kross. If you had a listened to what we had suggested and never jobbed him out to Hardy to begin with, and you made Karrion Kross a very serious heel who didn't lose that much, and then flip-flopped him when somebody did something horrible to Scarlett, you'd have a dangerous face. You would have a face that you say, oh, shit, here he comes, and he's going to beat somebody's ass. But that horse has left the barn because you've made him impotent as far as his ability to back up anything he says. Every time he says, I'm going after this guy, he loses. That's the problem. So you say, oh, well, yeah, big deal. So now he's going to lose to bad guys instead of losing to the good guys, right? You need that guy that you say, oh, shit. That guy was an absolute horror show as a heel, and now he's a face. So now the heels are really going to get what's coming to them because guy you need. Karrion Kross could have been that guy, but they were too short-sighted to see it, Mike, and I think it's too late.
Right. They were too short-sighted to see it, and frankly, here's hoping. I mean, we've said that L.A. Knight could be that guy, right?
Yep, could be.
Because he's good in the ring. He's excellent on the mic. He's got some great one-liners. If they would pull the trigger on doing the dummy button, you know, that type of stuff, you know, whatever. But he could be that guy, at least for a short amount of time, until they decide to do something. I think somewhere in the future, I think that Austin Theory could be that guy. Somewhere in the future.
Yeah, look, both of those guys could do that. But my point is, and I really like LA Knight, and they should be promoting him. But he's not the guy. He's the guy that you say he's going to tell these guys off. And they're not going to be able to retaliate on the microphone. Because he's just going to tear them a new one on the microphone. And he's a tough guy. He'll get in there and battle you. That's good. You want a guy like that. But you want that guy that you say he's going to kick your ass. LA Knight's not the guy that's going to kick your ass. He's not big enough. You need that guy that you say, oh, shit, man. Here he comes, and that's going to be bad news. That used to be a lot of them. The Rock was a big dude. Austin wasn't a huge dude, but he was that crazy beer-drinking redneck who would, you know, brawler. And you say, yeah, he'll kick your ass. Undertaker was that guy. You know, there was a lot of guys that was that guy. Now we don't have one. We don't have one potentially be that guy if he comes back as a face. Because you protected him so much. I mean, Solo could be that guy, but he can't be because I don't think he's that good on the microphone. You need a guy who can talk too. The Rock could talk. Taker didn't talk so much, but he had a gimmick that was, you know, they carried that. Could Bray Wyatt be that? Yeah, The Fiend could be that. The Fiend could be that. Absolutely. He's not going to talk much, but the Fiend could be that, yes. The Fiend could be that one guy that you say, well, when he shows up, that's bad news. It doesn't matter who's in the ring. It's not going to be a good time, and they're not going to beat him down. So somebody's getting their ass kicked. Yes, it could be. But I don't think they got that in mind for him. And again, I'd rather have a guy who could talk a little bit. Now, Bray Wyatt can talk on the microphone, but he doesn't do it as a Fiend. So you'd have to pull some kind of thing where Bray Wyatt spoke for the Fiend and then the Fiend did the ass kicking. I guess that could work. But I'd much rather have seen them, Karrion Kross, to be that guy. It would have been very, very easy. Once again, you just put him on a major win streak where you say, who's going to stop this guy? He seems invincible. And then, okay, somebody stops him eventually, of course. And you say, okay, he's not invincible. He got beat. And then instead of cycling him down where you say, well, now he's going to get beat by a lot of people, you let him get beat by that top face that you want to get the rub from that. And then right away you have him clash with some heel group or a heel that he doesn't see eye to eye with, and the fans are going to root for him. And the fans are going to know, well, this guy's serious, man. He didn't lose to too many people. Okay, he lost to you name it. Okay, he lost to Roman, or okay, he lost to Cody Rhodes, or okay, he lost to whoever. But everybody does. That would be fine. This all goes back to that first question, Mike, lack of danger, and we just don't have that anti-hero.
Right, and then, you know, like you said with him, you have some, if he's clashing with some heel or some heel group, and that heel group somehow does something to Scarlett, you know, there you go. You know, I mean, what do we all the time say about Brock Lesnar? Doesn't matter if he wins or loses, his music hits, somebody's ass is getting beat. You know?
That's right.
Yeah, you know, same thing for Kane, same thing for The Undertaker, Stone Cold, you know, people like that. I mean, but hell, what did 911 do in ECW?
Yeah, not very much. Just when you heard the music, you knew somebody was getting their ass kicked. And again, you know, okay, Brock Lesnar doesn't always win his, you know, little war when he comes down there, or Austin didn't, or whatever. But you knew it was going to be chaos. That's all that counted, is, oh, now we're going to see chaos. Fans like that. So now I just had a guy write me, say, what about Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre can't be that guy? You know, they're trying to make Drew McIntyre that guy, but there's just something that doesn't work. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's just something that doesn't – fans like him, but they don't have that dangerous feel to him. Sheamus was closer, but he's been there too long. In other words, you can't reinvent Sheamus at this point. He is what he is. People know when he's coming down, he's going to beat your ass or try to. But they know he's not going to be the top guy. They know he's not going to be that world beater, so they don't get behind him as much as they should because they know it's not going to amount to something. He's not going to be the guy that knocks off Roman Reigns. He's not going to be the top guy. They need that top guy. Gunther, they thought he had a chance with, and that's why the fans went nuts with Sheamus and Gunther, right? Because they said, finally, somebody who's going to give Gunther a taste of his own medicine. This proves my point even more, that that's what fans react to. That's what fans want. They don't want to see Gunther put in some kind of a little roll-up and pinned like Cody Rhodes did to Brock Lesnar. Oh, scientific wrestling overcame the brute. What a wonderful example of wrestling Cody Rhodes is. Yeah, but it's also boring. They want to see somebody get their ass whooped. See, because if you don't like a guy, let's say you're watching an action film, and all through this action film, this guy's kicking the hell out of people you like, doing all kinds of dastardly things, and when he finally gets to the end of the movie and he meets the hero of the movie, just pulls a gun and says, you're under arrest. And the guy says, damn it, I got caught. You'd be like, what the fuck kind of a movie is this? I was waiting for this guy to get his ass beat. Exactly. Well, that's the same thing with Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. Nobody wanted to see a little roll-up pin. They wanted to see Cody Rhodes beat his ass, but they don't want to, I guess, make Cody that type of a guy. Why do you think that Drew McIntyre got the biggest cheer he ever got in his life when he kicked Brock Lesnar out of the Royal Rumble? Because people were like, damn, man. And Brock sold it perfectly, remember? Brock was in a state of shock out there saying, what the hell? Just hit me. And people were like, yeah, finally Brock gets a taste of his own medicine. That's what fans want. They don't want to watch a Van Damme movie and at the end, Van Damme just arrests the bad guy. They want to see the showdown. They want to see the ass kicking, right? Well, that's exactly what wrestling wants to see. They want to see the ass kicking. And they want to see a guy that they say, this guy is, in fact, going to kick your ass. So, I mean, is it Drew McIntyre? I like Drew McIntyre, Todd, but I don't think he's the right guy.
No, you're absolutely right. Drew McIntyre is not the guy either. I would love to see him as the guy, but this, I don't think to them is not gonna, probably not going to work for that.
No, because you got to find a guy. See, the thing about it was, let's go back in time a little bit. When the Undertaker's bell tolled, everybody, no matter what their gimmick was, turned around and was like, oh, shit. And the idea behind it was you had to sell that you were scared of him, unless you were Kane, basically. You had to sell that I'm scared to death of this guy. Now, Austin, you didn't have to sell that you were scared to death of him, but you had to know, oh, shit, here it comes, and it's on. He's not going to do no talking. We're not going to jaw jack. He's coming in here to try to kick my ass. And with The Rock, you had a guy who you said, well, he could do both. He could come down here and eviscerate me on the microphone and make me look like an idiot. And then if I tried to stop him, he might kick my ass because he's also a pretty damn good brawler. So you sort of had that. You had those guys that everybody was like, well, they're going to teach this guy a lesson. We don't have one of those guys. The closest guy we had was Sami Zayn, and you had to make him so much of a bitch, really, before he finally retaliated that anybody would root for him because you're like, well, how big of a bitch can you be before you stand up for yourself? But he never was that guy who was like, I'm a tough guy. He was exactly the opposite. They don't want to portray the tough guys that much anymore. Everybody's got to have a soft, politically correct side. Problem. It's a big problem. Anyway, let's get to SmackDown a little bit. And we had a 37-minute opening with the Usos supposedly doing the trial of Roman Reigns. It did not work out that way, obviously. I had a friend of mine write to me and say, don't you think that Roman and the Usos and everybody did an awesome job? Yes, I do think they did an awesome job. However, as I do every once in a while, I watched this episode with a non-wrestling fan who had zero idea what was going on. And when Roman Reigns knelt down, this guy said, he's gonna low blow him, isn't he? And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what he's going to do. And that's what he did. Now, if you know that and you don't even watch wrestling, then certainly you knew it if you're a wrestling fan. And certainly it makes Jey Uso look like a complete and utter moron. So I didn't like that because I thought, well, here we go. Here we go with the nonsense where you say, well, that's not logical. You're not going to trust Roman Reigns. It would have been a hell of a lot better if he gave it to, like, Paul Heyman to do, and Paul Heyman got on his knees and then hit the low blow, and then Roman speared him or something. Because he would have said, well, I didn't see that coming, because Paul never gets physical. Low blow is going to hurt just as much, really, right? So, yeah, everybody did a good job. It was a decent segment, and, you know, I credit everybody in it, but it was highly, highly predictable. And I guess we're writing Jimmy off of TV for a little while so that Jay can thing for SummerSlam. Now, I don't know. There's a couple of ways you can go with this, you know. I wouldn't take the low road. I hope the WWE doesn't take the low road, but one road that is possible is that Jimmy comes back at SummerSlam and costs Jay and says, oh, yeah, I see how it is. We're supposed to be the team. We're supposed to be brothers, but, man, you made it out so you could be the tribal chief. You could try to take on Roman for a solo belt. You didn't care about me. And maybe return to the fold or have a feud with his own brother. That could happen. I hope not, because you kind of solidified them now. Clearly, we saw Solo eyeing up that wreath to be the tribal chief. So we know something's going to happen with who's going to be the tribal chief. And we know Roman is winding down here to an area where he wants to take some time off. Now, he has said, that's not true, and I'll stay as long as they want me to stay. But I'm telling you, he's requested time off. And he's going to get it. Now, I don't know whether he's going to get it after SummerSlam or after WrestleMania. My guess would be after WrestleMania. But he's going to take some time off. And when he does, there's going to be a new tribal chief. And I don't think it's going to be Jay. So I do think it's very possible that Solo gets his hands on that. Solo may turn on Roman Reigns the opposite of how the Usos do. He may turn on Roman Reigns and actually turn Roman Reigns' face in the sense that Solo's worse than Roman. They've already sold you on the fact that Solo will sell his own brothers out. No problem. He had no problem going after Jimmy or Jay. He had no problem giving him that Samoan spike. He had no problem trying to put him through a table. So his brotherhood with his brothers is not strong. And he's more power motivated. So you've already sold that in Solo Sikoa, is that he has no morals when it comes to what he'll do to his family. So why wouldn't he do it to Roman? So my guess is that that's where they're going with this. And eventually, I guess you'll see Roman come back to take Solo on for that tribal chief thing. I think at WrestleMania, though, they're still eyeing up The Rock to come in and do some stuff with Roman. So I don't know where that's going. It was a pretty good segment, though, Mike, but it was highly predictable.
It was highly predictable. And frankly, if you look at it, you know, I mean, Solo, it would make sense for them to do what you said to do with Solo, because, one, you could have Solo is all right on the mic, but he's not Roman or Jay. He may not even be Jimmy. Jimmy is fairly decent on the mic, all right? But what would happen is he takes over as a tribal chief, and that breathes new life into Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman can now be his mouthpiece until Solo can be his own mouthpiece.
Right. Yeah, maybe you might – well, I don't know. Maybe you might even see Paul Heyman turn his back on Roman and go with Solo, saying he was always the toughest one. He was always the future. Yeah, it could be that way. I don't know. There's branches on the tree, which is good. We had, of course, Sheamus taking on Austin Theory. We already knew that Pretty Deadly was going to come down. I'm not sold on Pretty Deadly. I want to be sold on Pretty Deadly, because there are times when they're doing an interview or times when they're in the ring, and I'm like, that was good. That was really good. But then there are times when I'm like, it's not working. So I want to be sold on these guys, but right now I'm not. So let's hope they can right the ship there, Todd, because they could be a really good tag team and a really good player in the WWE, but I think they have to modify them a little bit, because some of the stuff's working and then some of the stuff isn't.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dan. Like you said, the pretty deadly tag team, they got me on when they were in NXT, but they're not having me sold on the main roster.
Yeah, I think give them a little time, Mike. But you know, they're a good team. They just need to modify a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but don't they? don't they have the feel of like the Rockers or you know, Rock and Roll Express or somebody like that, you know? Don't they have that type of feel?
You know who they remind me of? The Beverly Brothers, if you remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that kind of feel to them. They're better, good on the mic, and they're trying to do their catchphrases with the Yes Boy thing and stuff. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. They haven't done them any favors because they've already dropped to Owens and Zane, and probably going to drop to the Brawling Brutes. They're not doing them any favors, but we'll see what ends up happening. Then the AJ Styles thing, man, I told you, I said, you know what? AJ Styles would have been willing to go out there and drop that match. I promise you, he would have been willing to go out there and drop that match. The powers that be said, no, we don't have anything for Karrion Kross. We're not promoting him, and he's not winning. And I said that if he loses, I don't know where you're going to go. Now, the WWE, with the powers that be, they're going to say, we could always flip him face and the fans will like him. Yeah, but he's ineffectual. Well, he failed as a heel, so we'll try him as a face. And the fans will also not care because he hasn't accomplished anything. Remember Stone Cold Steve Austin? He was a terror when he came in. He's giving fans the middle finger. He was doing horrible things. He was beating people's ass way more than he should. He was a loudmouth, bragging, redneck son of a bitch, right? And the fans loved him because they saw that danger. And then when he flipped, people said, well, there's going to be hell to pay if you're a heel in this federation. That's because you made him dangerous. Same way with The Rock. Same way with The Undertaker. Same way with Kane. You didn't make them lose a zillion matches and then say, well, let's try him as a face. Maybe he'll go over as a face. Well, why would he go over as a face? You haven't proven him to be dangerous. You haven't proven him to be a winner. You got to make this your mission from now on, WWE. If you're going to promote somebody or you're going to turn them, whether you're turning them heel to face or face to heel, you got to make him dangerous. You got to let the fans know, okay, this person's the real deal. So if they flip heel, the faces better watch out because now he's going to be even worse. Or if this guy flips face, the heels better watch out because this guy will give them a taste of their own medicine. That's what you have to do. You're just saying, well, he's lost 50 straight matches and nobody cares. Maybe we'll make him a face. Well, why would anybody care? He's lost 50 straight matches. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care. I mean, this was your perfect opportunity to have something happen. This was your perfect opportunity to have somebody come out to try to interfere in AJ Styles' match and accidentally hit Scarlett. Instead of AJ Styles laughing about it or whatever and say, ah, she got what she deserved, literally, like, stop the match and go out there. And then Karrion Kross the same thing. And then they kind of just look at each other like, well, I guess that's not that bad of a guy. Look what these idiots did to my wife. You know, and then AJ Styles can say, listen, I don't like Karrion Kross. And I don't like Scarlett. Look what she's done to me. But you can't come out there and do that to somebody. So, yeah, I was concerned. You can't go out there and do that. And that's the perfect opportunity then for Karrion Kross to say, I never liked AJ Styles. But I'm going to need somebody's help in taking care of this. And it may as well be a guy who has some good brothers to back them up as it is just me by myself. Then if you had that group have a war, then you could have took Karrion Kross afterwards alone and people would have said, man, he's pretty badass. He's getting mad. He's badass. But you didn't do it. You just said, no, AJ, just pin him. And his career just vanishes into the wilderness. See, a loss should always mean something. If you got a guy who you like and you got a guy who you have some faith in, then when he loses, it's got to mean something. Had a conversation with a friend who said, why did they have Solo lose to Cody Rhodes? Wasn't that dumb? Solo should still be undefeated. And to a certain extent, I agree, but you did have a reason. And the reason was Roman Reigns clearly told Solo, you're not ready right now for Cody Rhodes. He's a little above your grade right now. Maybe in a couple of months he won't be. Right now he is. And as the tribal chief, he was right. Which means Solo said, well, he was right. I should have listened to him. So there was a reason for that loss. The reason was it made Solo think Roman was looking out for my best interest, and he was correct, as it turns out. And I have to work harder. So there was a reason for that loss. Was it a good reason? Maybe not a great reason, but at least it was a reason. There's no reason for Karrion Kross to have dropped this match to AJ Styles at all, Mike.
Right. There is no reason for him to drop that match. And furthermore, here's the deal. Yeah, you could have both Scarlett and Mishan out there, which they did, all right? But why not have somebody, a group, including a couple of women, come out there and attack Scarlett, you know? And then, well, then Mishan can go over there and say, look, I don't like Scarlett, but, you know, what they did to her is over the line, right?
Even if it was an accident, let's say she ducks. They were going to do something to Mishan. She ducks and Scarlett gets hit. And instead of her laughing about it, she says, oh, shit, and tries to help her, and then they go after her. So then AJ Styles says, wait a minute, they're going after my girl here, and Karrion Kross is saying the same thing. And before you know it, they're kind of battling the same enemy. You got something there, Mike.
Absolutely. And like you said, if it's three or four guys and a couple of girls come out there, you know, and then you're having just AJ and what's her name and what's his name there. Well, you got four guys and you got two other guys out there just doing nothing and catering with the Good Brothers. There's your four man plus maybe a couple women feud, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you just do a temporary thing, temporary allegiance, where you say, okay, well, you know what? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, temporarily. And then people would get to see Karrion Kross in the light of, well, he does care about Scarlett, and he certainly reacted differently than we expected him to about AJ Styles' concern. So maybe he's not that bad of a guy. And apparently he's very violent, because now he's going looking for people, and he's pissed. And, you know, then you'd have something, because he'd be a little dangerous, right? You say, well, this is a guy who's not wrapped too tight to begin with. And now you've done pissed him off, done something to his wife, and, you know, God knows what's going to happen. The whole point. That's why The Fiend was so popular. You had Bray Wyatt, and he was like, ah, I'm a fun house guy and everything, but you knew, man, if you piss him off, The Fiend is going to come out, and that's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. You're not going to fight him off. You're not going to do whatever. You're not going to out-talk him on the mic. He's just going to come out and attack you and beat the fuck out of you. That's what made it special. That's what we need. We don't have it. We do not have it. So there you go in a nutshell, folks. I think Karrion Kross's career is probably, that's probably shit the bed. Did a little bit of a hint that Io Sky would maybe be challenging Oscar. There'd be some kind of a three-way dance, Todd. That'll be fun.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Oscar and Io Sky and probably and Bianca Belair for that WWE Women's Championship. It could be fun there. And, you know, you could have maybe not just a three, maybe a four-way with a Charlotte Flair. With Charlotte Flair involved.
Could be a fatal four-way. That'd be very interesting. I'd be very interested in that if that's what they end up doing, Mike.
I'd be very interested in that. I still want to see, you know, Io Sky and what's her name in the feud, right? And Asuka in the singles feud. And I still, at some point, I still want to see Asuka versus Becky Lynch. That's something that's never happened that should happen, right?
I know.
And that's the thing. As far as I just want to speak one more thing about Nikki Cross, you know, and possibly sticking her with Bray Wyatt. Hell, you stick her with Bray Wyatt for the time being. You know what's her name. You know Alexa's coming back. And you know that Alexa and Nikki were friends and they did their thing. And then Alexa went off the deep end, right? You know? And then you could actually have her and Nikki Cross reform that tag team and end up going after the tag team champions.
Can you imagine how you could swerve the fans if you just had Nikki Cross going around saying, going around being like bug-eyed, happy, crazy, and having people say, what is wrong with you? What's the matter? Oh, my friend is coming. I got a friend. My friend's coming back. They're all going to think it's sanity. You know? Oh, your friend's coming back. Who does that mean? Alexa Bliss or whoever, you know? My friend's coming back. And or my friend wouldn't like the way this person talked to me, or my friend wouldn't like this, that, or the other thing. And then if it turns out your friend was the fiend, that's not good. People would be like, oh, shit. You know, when that music hit and she said, my friend is here, and all of a sudden it was, you know, the Bray Wyatt music, the fiend music, people would be like, oh, shit. That's not a bad friend to have if you're in trouble, right? That's shitting and getting time, right? So there you go. That would be great, and it would be a great way to put her in the fold of Bray Wyatt for a while. Then if you wanted to have Alexa Bliss come back and be in that fold too, you certainly have that branch on the tree. You also have the branch on the tree of Alexa Bliss saying, I've been there. You were my friend once. Get out of it. He damn near destroyed me. It's part of my life I don't even remember. I had to go through therapy to get out of it. So you have that branch on the tree. There are many branches on the tree. So I would love to see that. I would love to see Nikki Cross start talking about her supposed imaginary friend coming back and having it end up being the fiend, Mike.
Oh, man, that would be so cool. And frankly, think about this. You know, yeah, you could have him be the friend, but also think about this. Why, if you're not going to bring back Sanity, why not add Eric Young to Bray Wyatt's group?
You could. Absolutely could. You absolutely could. That's what I mean. I mean, at this stage of the game, Nikki Cross is one of these people that everybody's shitting on. So if she started to, I mean, he can't attack a female, obviously, but if you had some of the males start picking on her too, not physically picking on her, but saying she's nuts, there's something mentally wrong with you. You know, people would be like, you know, you could potentially, you have something in the mix. Because you'd have to change Gargano and Dexter Lumis. But if you had Gargano's wife kind of blow off Nikki and say, look, something mentally wrong with you. I want you to stay the hell away from me. And if you don't stay away from me, there's going to be trouble. And then Gargano maybe, you know, tell her off and be like, look, stay away from my wife, nut. And if you don't, bad things are going to happen to you. Because Dexter doesn't much care who he takes out. And you don't want Dexter on your bad side. Because if you get on Dexter's bad side, bad things are going to happen to you. And then she could just keep saying, well, my friend won't let anything bad happen to me. And then when they just blow it all off and say, look, we warned you, so now this is it, okay? And that fiend music hit, people are going to be like, oh, shit. That's not good news for Dexter Lumis, and it's certainly not good news for Gargano. And that would be pretty damn good way to bring this whole thing around the mic.
Right, and think about this. You know, they're wanting to put back together the Gargano way, right? And they just brought Indy Hartwell back up, you know. And you can before the Fiend shows up, it's not just Gargano, it's not just Lumis, but and Candice LeRae, but it's also Indy Hartwell that gets involved with it, and that's what, four or five on one? And that one being a
yeah.
woman?
Or you could even have the extra branch on the tree of having Candace be the only one who's sort of saying, no, leave her alone. She's okay. She's a little weird, but she's not doing any harm. And I'm saying, no, we're not leaving her alone. She's nuts. She's stalking you. We're taking care of this once and for all. That way, she'd be the sympathetic character in that you say, well, I wonder what's going to happen now. I mean, is Nikki Cross going to return the favor and make sure nothing happens to her? Or is she just going to say, fuck her? Or, you know, there would be
yeah.
another branch on the tree.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But, again, this is a WWE, and they just don't think this way.
Can you imagine if you had built Dexter Lumis up to be psychotic like that? Where he wasn't losing many matches and he was a psychopath, but even Gargano said, no, you can't really control him. Because then you'd have the ultimate showdown, wouldn't you? You'd have a damn good showdown between Dexter Lumis and the Fiend. Could have been one of Lumis's first losses. There's so many things you could do if you just sit back and say, wait. Let's see the talent we got and what we need to do to flesh them out. Instead, you've made Candice LeRae a punching bag. You're making Indy Hartwell a punching bag. You've already made Dexter Lumis irrelevant punching bag. Gargano, you're trying to build up, but you're trying to make him a comedy guy. You're trying to make Lumis and Gargano Abbott and Costello. We don't need that. I would love to see Gargano and Lumis come back with a really negative attitude that Candice LeRae doesn't really abide and say, I don't know what's gotten into you. And he said, what's gotten into me is that here we are. We're not successful. We're not successful because we're too nice. Play nice with everybody. Well, I'm done playing nice with people. We're not playing nice with people anymore. Now, you're my wife, and you can do what you want with your career, but you can either be a part of this or step out of our way because this is what we're going to do. That way she's torn. She realizes Nikki Cross is a little weird, but somewhat harmless. Doesn't really want to see too much harm come to her. Doesn't realize the backup she's got. You got a really compelling storyline there, Mike, if you just gave it a go.
Give it a go, you know. And look, I mean, you could very well, because really, yeah, when they were doing the whole Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis thing, Indy Hartwell was slightly less crazy than Lumis, right? You
yeah.
know, she wasn't, in that relationship, she wasn't the crazy one, you know? She was more, sharing with more about herself at that time, you know? So you could actually have both of them do the same thing, you know? Gargano and what you call it, Lumis are trying for the heavier edge, the sharper edge, and Hartwell and LeRae are going, well, she's harmless, you know, we don't need to be going crazy on her like we would do on somebody else. We don't
right.
need to be doing this with this one.
And you could add Ciampa to the mix too. Because then you'd have to say, well, the Fiend needs backup. And then Lord knows, like you said, you put Eric Young in there, you put Bo Dallas in there, you put Eric Redbeard in there, whoever you're going to put in there. You got a pretty damn good war. It's worth a go. It's better than doing nothing with them, which is exactly what you're doing. You're doing nothing. So why not try to make, you know, something out of nothing and see if it takes off? You never know what might happen. These are the things that WWE needs to do more of, Todd, until they start to really try to flesh these characters out and do some things with them. The fans are not going to be as involved as they should be, and then they're going to be that one-trick pony that has to keep riding the Bloodline story out.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is, like you said, with Nikki Cross here, and they need to bring the sanity in for months to... She's been talking about her friends.
Yeah, and we assume it's sanity. But can you imagine if Dexter Lumis had been portrayed the right way? That Johnny Gargano can somewhat control him, but he's a loose cannon. And then Gargano says, I'm tired of controlling him. I think we should just turn him loose, and we should be that ultimate weapon. And his wife says, this is not the way we were brought up in this business to do this stuff. And you had Nikki Cross' friend be Fiend, person that Dexter Lumis was legit scared of. That would be fun. That would be, you could get a lot of mileage out of the complexities of that interpersonal relationship between husband and wife and friend, best friend, and the crazy thing of the Fiend. There's a lot of interaction there, Mike.
Absolutely. And to throw in the fact that you have Nikki Cross, who's got that crazy thing going, and the possibility of when she decides to come back, Alexa Bliss, you know.
Yep.
I mean, look, you know, we know who's still in the company. We know who's out there waiting to come back to the company, you know, in a possible, you know, I mean, we got two or three or four other people that, you know, we know his brother's ready to come back. We know Eric Redbeard's hanging around there. We know a couple of the other Sanity guys are out there waiting. They're doing nothing. And we know that Eric Young is in the company.
Yeah, Mike, plus you have the branch on the tree of when Alexa Bliss is ready to come back, she could come back as a face saying to Nikki Cross, you've got to get away from the Fiend, regardless of how much you think he cares, whatever, he's a user, he's a horrible, evil person, I know what he did to me. Or you could have the opposite, and you could have Candice LeRae finally acquiesce and say, you know what, maybe my husband was right all along, and go along with it, and be the person that beats Nikki Cross down. Now you got two women on the Gargano side, and all of a sudden Alexa Bliss shows up. And there you've got even odds in the team, Mike.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. If they would be thinking this way, this is complex thinking here, you know. And over the last, say, 3 to 5 years or so, the WWE doesn't really do complex at all. Yeah, they did it somewhat with the Bloodline, right? But
yep.
It's too few and far between.
No, you're right. We fleshed more out here in about 15 minutes than they're going to do in a year. And that's the tragedy. And maybe that's another reason that wrestling's popularity is waning, is because the writing has become so stale. And so they have to write so carefully around things that they just can't do it anymore. It's a shame. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.